Well, hello and welcome to the 28th number of the podcast of the Frontend Coffee Break, a podcast where we take a break from our everyday lives, grab a cup of joe or coffee, tea, or whatever is your favorite beverage, and discuss different frontend related topics. With me, as always, is Ricard. Hello. How are you?
Hello. Good afternoon, Chucha.
Yeah, good afternoon, Ricard. As you can see, some time has passed since the last couple of podcasts, basically because my beard has grown back. I'm happy. That's really, we have to be open about this. This is the real reason why I said I didn't want to do that many podcasts, because without the beard, you know, it's like, I'm no one. I'm kidding. But it does have been a little bit of time since we'd recorded one. But I am really happy to be back here. Today we have an interesting topic. It's interesting because it's a little bit on the there's a polemic, or it's a topic that it's something that, for example, it's not my favorite thing. But we're here to open to discuss it, because as we've always said, there's no one perfect solution for everything. Everything has a purpose. And today we're going to talk about why I do not love single page applications. Or more in the direction of what we're going to just discuss about single page applications. So let's begin by talking a little bit about what a single page application is. Ricardo, if you could please illustrate us and the listeners.
Well, it's an application that lives in a single page. I don't know, why do you hate them? I mean, they have their purposes. They have their place in this world.
True.
What is a single page application, SPA for short? It's hard to define. I mean, it's not easy to define. I mean right? I mean, because you could say a single page application is a front-end web app where you control the routing, like the page changes, where you don't feel like there's a full page reload. Actually, when you click links, you navigate throughout the application without actually reloading everything. That more or less could be the main, let's say, definition factor, or something like that, right?
We have, let's go and look, let's cheat a little bit. It's not cheating, but let's take a look at different websites to see what they defined as a single page application. As you said, single page applications, SPAs for short, a web app implemented in such a way that it loads one single, it's completely loaded on a single web document. And everything that it does, all the updates that it does is inside the same document, doing it using JavaScript APIs, or basically just AJAX calls to fetch the different content that needs to be shown. But everything is loaded once and in one page. The opposite, which was the original, I guess, the original term, is the MPA, multi-page application, which is not loaded inside one single file. I went and dug up a little bit about the origin in SPAs. I don't know. I mean, since I don't love the topic, I said, okay, let's read a little bit into it and see how long have they been around. I don't know if I didn't know until now, but I don't know if you are aware how long the SPAs have been around.
It's got to be from maybe Angular, right? The first framework that was there, maybe to kick off things.
When was Angular out?
I do not know. I don't remember. I was too young back then.
I was too young. For sure you were. Okay, but I went did a little bit digging, Wikipedia being our friend here. And it is actually, the term was coined back in 2003. Of course, the origins, it's stated that it's the real origins of the SPA, the term SPA is not really completely clear, but they say that the concepts, according to Wikipedia, the concept was discussed at least as early as 2003 by a technology evangelist from Netscape. And it seems that a student from Cardiff, Stuart Morris, wrote the self-contained website at /.com with the same goals and functionalities in April 2002. And later the same year, a couple of students described a single page application implementation in a US patent. I mean, before that, they were called rich web applications. So the term itself, not the technology that we're currently using for it, but the term itself was coined or discussed as early as 2003. I was really surprised about.
Yeah, I mean, I think people, when we think about SPAs, we think more about, you know, frameworks like Angular, React, Vue, Svelte, and those are way, way later than 2003.
Until today, I thought that actually, as you said, that SPAs came with specifically, as you said, Angular. For me, I never had heard the term before that until Angular, and they say, oh, it's an SPA, oh, SPA this, SPA that, and it's like, oh, something new to hate. I'm kidding. But
so we used to do the mix, no? We used to have our maybe PHP websites with Ajax, and we would update stuff, but that's not an SPA. An SPA, as you said before, a lot of definition, a single document, and then no more page reloads. But yeah, I don't recall. Like, I started doing these things 2016, I think. No, what is it? 2006, I was, I think,
2006,
professionally working on this. And I don't recall having this concept back then. So
yeah, definitely for me, it was really fairly recent. But let's begin on the use cases, as you say. When to use them. Well, first of all, let's do this stance. Are you pro or against SPAs?
Yeah, it's impossible to say. I mean, I like them when they fit my requirements. Yeah, yeah. I mean,
okay.
Right? Because as front-end leads, as tech leads, whatever it is you want to call yourself, you got to decide based on your requirements, based on the client need, based on the business requirement, if it makes sense or not. So, you know me, I hate JavaScript.
Yes.
So,
but that's why I'm surprised that you say this, because I know that you're not pro JavaScript.
Right, right. But there are some use cases. I think when you have an application that has like a very high like interaction, user interaction, it might make sense. When you have lots of forms, you have dashboards, widgets, things that the user really interact with. I'm not talking about presentation, not just reading, but actually interacting with your website. Sometimes it makes sense, right? Because everything's already there. The user has fast changes between views and between different parts of the application. It feels very smooth, very native. So definitely makes sense in those scenarios.
Well, that's, I guess, one of the biggest advantages that they mentioned, right? Precisely the user experience, the app-like user experience, that you don't wait until data is loaded to when you load a new page. It's almost the response is almost immediate. And you mentioned before, and this is, I was thinking about precisely the use cases that you mentioned, Ajax. A long time ago, I started having a discussion with a colleague, but I'm talking about over 10, 15 years regarding an application that he was doing. And now thinking about it right now, it feels that he actually was doing something very similar to a single page application, because he loaded the JavaScript once, and then there was no navigation to any other page. Everything that happened in the same page. And in this case, he was using Ajax, you know, to refresh the page, which I was surprised, because this is also, since I'm not very much into SPAs, I was surprised when I heard the hydration concept. For me, it blew my mind a little bit, like, oh yeah, you keep the page hydrated. It's like, so you pour water on it or what?
But this is new, right? I mean, it is the whole concept of having your HTML and then enhance it with JavaScript as it comes along, and you know, Bresium enhancement, service-side rendering, all these magic things. Yeah, Ajax. I mean, I think all of us have used Ajax, but for me, the differentiator is the whole navigation, right? That you could have a deep link saying, okay, example.com/chucho/openform. And then that would deep link into your application. You think it's an actual page that you're accessing, but rather it's a view of the SPA.
And what I was saying is that I told my colleague, hey, you're using Ajax too much. And he was like, no, I'm not. And it's like, yes, you are, because you're loading everything via Ajax. And he was insisting, no, I'm doing it right. Back then, for me, the only justification to use Ajax was, does it feel that you're navigating to a new page, or does it feel that you're just refreshing part of the page, but you're staying inside the same page that you are? And it would be that if the answer to that is yes, that you're navigating to a new page, then definitely do not use Ajax, because it's a new page. But if what you're doing is refreshing just part of the information in the page, like, for example, loading names in the rest of the page, you feel that you haven't moved to a different section, then that would be the correct use case for Ajax. And I think in a way the SPAs is a little bit similar to that in the sense that, but the SPA is doing like, that this is the reason that I don't like the SPAs that much, because I feel that you're doing things that you would be navigating to other pages. And instead of navigating to other pages, you are just loading data.
I mean, the transitions are nice. Like when everything is loaded, even okay, lazy loading, whatever it is, you have your own architecture for the SPA and you click a navigation item and it really loads fast. The data is there. Or sure, maybe there are fetch calls here and there to fetch new content. It really feels smooth, feels really, really native. But I don't know now. Yeah, have you heard about the view transition API?
No. What is the view transition API?
This is new API we have available to us in the browsers, where basically with a few lines, you can tell the browser to transition from one page load to the other. And it really looks like if you just add, I think you can add one meta tag and then that says just do it for everything. And it would look like you're doing a PowerPoint presentation. You have your page A HTML, and then you click the link to go to B page HTML, and it looks like a PowerPoint. It fades out, and it fades in the next one. And it's an actual page reload or page change, but you don't really notice it.
Okay, so it's more of a, you have the old page navigation, but the feeling, the experience is that you're just transitioning from one page
exactly.
to another.
I mean, and it's a few lines of CSS if you want to make it more complex with a little bit of JavaScript. If you want, for instance, have you ever been in a mobile app where you click a thumbnail and the thumbnail expands to a full screen, like transitioning it?
Yes.
Now you can do that with just a few lines of JavaScript and CSS on the web, right? And it looks amazing. Again, you would maybe change to a different page, right? The URL changes, it's a full page change, but the browser takes care of doing this sort of animation transition. And we are in the early stages. I mean, you can already try it in your Chrome. And I think the more time it passes, the more robust it can be. But definitely, it gives a run for its money to the SPA. That was one selling point, saying, I want this thing to be super smooth.
Yes,
but now
yes.
we can also do it. So
I love this. I mean, in the end, this is something that we've discussed over and over and over about when something is widely used, it suddenly becomes standard, you know. If you're doing whatever thing that you've been doing, and if it's people is doing this constantly in JavaScript, they have libraries and such, they stop being libraries, they become part of the native working of the JavaScript. And this is the same thing, the same case. I mean, people want very natural transitions, and now they're making it possible. Oh, I remember that you talked about it some time ago, but I didn't remember. I mean, it was just like, oh, you mentioned it, it went away from my head. Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's magic. I mean, if you add the meta tag, try it out if you guys haven't yet. But it works like magic. But definitely, you know, go in there and learn more about it. But yeah, it's good.
Okay, this would be one reason, for example, as you said, to use single page applications because of the nice transitioning. Any other reason that you would suggest, hey, this is a use case for SPAs?
I mean, you could argue at some point performance, right? Performance is a tricky topic because, of course, it depends on how you've built your SPA, how you would build your, old MPA multi-page application. But you could argue at some point that if you start loading your things like lazy loading your build as the user navigates, everything's a sync, blah, 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 you could somehow maybe have a better like experience overall navigating than just doing full page loads. But I don't know. It's hard. It's hard. I do love MPAs. I do love the having, you know, server-side rendering with, you know, my HTML is delivered via the server. And then with just a small JavaScript here and there, I enhance my forms. I enhance my everything. And you and I love also progressive enhancement, which is part of, you know, just hydrating with JavaScript, whatever you want to call it. So I don't know. For me, it's a hard sell, the whole SPA. Again, I go back to the first reason I gave you. That was very, like, high interaction. Very high interaction. Lots of forms, lots of views, and yeah.
Before we get into the topic of what would be your tools of choice to build it, I would like to discuss a little bit of just something that you said, and it's a new way of working. You know, the web was thought of basically document navigation and linking pages between each other, and now it's so much more. We have applications. I'm sure that this was not the original vision, and as time progresses, things just start changing, and they start growing into new stuff. And maybe I'm just, for example, in my case, I'm just set up in the old ways of doing things, and I do not see that maybe the web today is much more than what I'm used to seeing it. So I guess that things like native application experience inside the web would be the next place to go.
No. But I think you're not on the wrong path. I mean, in the end, if it makes sense, sure. But I mean, think oftentimes the types of websites we use with CMSs, like you're working marketing websites, these are not the target for an SPA. I mean, if you have a page that is mostly a static text, images, a carousel component, whatever, you will not do an SPA. I mean, even though the front enders would love to do that and love the power of doing, you know, SPAs with whatever your framework, be real with your customers and say, this does not make sense for your use case.
And let's talk a little bit about the disadvantages before going to the tooling, which we'll be eventually getting there. For example, one of the biggest things against SPAs that people would say, if you go read, the first thing that appears there, because the first positive is precisely speed, performance, the after the first load, of course, speed, performance, and the experience. But one of the first no-nos is SEO. Now, but still people say, I want to SPA and they want to still keep a good SEO. You know, there's ways of trying to maintain this. And my experience is that all of these things, all of the downfalls of SPAs, they've been trying to compensate them one way or another, you know, with, and this is something that I loved when I heard it, server-side rendering, you know. We have a version of the page that you're going to see at an SPA, but on the server side, so that when the crawlers come in, they can see the page as if it was static. And it's like, isn't that doing double work? I know that it's not, because there's ways of creating that based on the page that you have, but it just feels so much work to do something that is so much simpler if you don't have to do that.
I agree. I mean, we go back to the origins again, going back to MPA. You have your SPA, which is fully JavaScript. You create your HTML with JavaScript. You know, crawlers can start to understand JavaScript. I think Google parses JavaScript and then they do understand it. But of course, it's way better if you just deliver HTML. It's fast and it's ready. So they came up with SSR, server-side rendering. Surely, I mean, not only for crawlers, but also for the end user. I mean, but then isn't that so much complex? Yeah, you have your SPA tooling on your local, right, npm run dev, but then you have to install, what is it? React something for the server, and then Vue, SvelteKit. I mean, I don't know, there are a bunch of other libraries that help you create the rendering on the server so you can deliver it as already rendered and it's faster. But it feels there's so much work.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That it sometimes feels, if in the way that I see it, you know, it's, the experience with SPAs can be fantastic, but if you begin to use these kind of things to make it work because you need them, maybe SPA is not the best choice. Anyhow, let's go into what would be if you were to build right now. A client says, "Hey, I want an SPA, whatever project it is. What would your tools of choice be?"
For me, it's Vue. I've been playing with Vue for many years. I feel comfortable with the syntax. I think it's performant enough, unlike React. Don't kill me. And I just like the tooling, man. I mean, I was trying it, what was it, a few weeks ago, a few months ago, where, I mean, at the beginning, you would, of course, as usual, do MPAI, install Vue, and then or you do it yourself or include the script tag. But now they have this cool CLIs that with a one-liner, it installs everything for you. I mean, we're talking about the whole development toolset. Like, we're talking about ESLint, Cypress for end-to-end, Jest for unit testing, Prettier for formatting the files, everything in one line, npm something, create Vue project, and you're done. And it works on the first go. And I was super impressed. I was super impressed with the ecosystem and the state of the matureness of the tooling for working with Vue. So yeah, I will go with that. What about you?
Well, I think that you know exactly what I'm going to say. The irony is that, I'll tell you the irony about it. Of course, my tool of choice, if I had to build that SPA, would be definitely Svelte. The same if I wanted to build a web component, for example, I would definitely go with Svelte. If Svelte didn't exist, I might have gone with Vue. But I've worked with React, I've worked with Angular, I've worked with Vue. No, I have never worked with Vue. I started looking into it, and then I found out Svelte. And for me, Svelte is just, if you're going to use a framework or a library or something like this, Svelte, for me, it's the most natural choice and also the most performant, as far as I know. And that would be the one that I use. Although you have Svelte and you have SvelteKit, and they recommend you to use SvelteKit because or at least to help you out create SPAs. I hate SvelteKit. I hate it. I just like Svelte as it is, the simple version of Svelte. It is also super simple to work with it, but that would be it. And I think that you learning Svelte is super simple.
Because I feel comfortable with Bio, but maybe if I'm thinking about maybe being more future-proof or, you know, not future-proof, but maybe helping the team grow or helping the team learn something new, I would try Svelte. I mean, I've seen it. I've seen your code as well, and it looks clean. It looks very vanilla. I like it. And the footprint is also something to consider, right? Even though, sure, with Bio also you have a small footprint, it's not as you would drop the whole React in it. So, yeah. Svelte or Bio, I think both are solid choices.
You know, one of the sad things is that when I started working on personal applications using Svelte, I found a way to build different parts of the different pages in Svelte separately, not as an SPA, but actually using Svelte for a multi-page application. It took me a little bit of time to configure it, but I had it working. Once I did, it's like, yeah, this is nice. I'm not going to use it right now, but it was nice.
No, but I mean, again, SPAs, if we continue working on why they're more complicated or why should you not use them, think about also authoring experience, right? For us, at least a content-centric is very important that, sure, you just not build the SPA and you deliver it in a zip file, you put it on the Azure or Amazon Cloud, but you allow the editors to create pages, right? Create routes, create, you know, chucho slash regard slash podcast. How do you allow that? How do you allow the editor to write content? All those things. I think it's important. And you have to consider, does the SPA allow you to do that? I don't know.
And this is what I wanted to discuss. So I guess it would be the next topic is, I've got Misan Aesthetic. We work with AM. We work with the Adobe Experience Manager. It's it's a content management system. And usually SPAs doesn't feel as a natural thing to it. AM has integrated SPA support. I personally haven't used it, but I know that it exists. And what would be the solutions? Or how do you work? How do you integrate SPAs into a project like the ones that we do? Because we do it. We have several projects that have SPAs of all the flavors out there, from Angular, React, Svelte, and Vue. How do you do it?
I mean, there's just no one way, luckily, right? It depends on your client requirements or needs again, right? You could go full headless. You could go, if we're talking about more concrete in AM, you could go with content fragments, experience fragments, things like that, where the editors would see forms in their backend system. They would see forms, they fill a form, and that then is sent to the SPA via JSON or GraphQL, whatever it is. So that's one way. But of course, it's not what you see, what you get. I mean, the editors, they're used to the what you see is what you get kind of experience with regular AM or WordPress or whatever it is, that you type something, you more or less see a preview, you hit publish, and you see it. With this, you don't. So you got to explain to the customer, I mean, what are the trade-offs? I mean, okay, you will have maybe a poorer content experience, but then you'll have maybe more performance or faster delivery. I mean, in the end, if you have a full team of front-enders, you can deliver very fast components where you don't have to play with, you know, backend configurations and backend components and Java's, all those things. You really can go fast. So it's a trade-off.
So this would be like more of a data-oriented approach in which you're working. The content is actually, well, in the end, everything is content. Content is king. And in a content management system, what you're doing is you're managing content, but we're showing it through components and this kind of things. But you can go with the headless approach where the content is just data that the SPAs actually grab and use and work with.
Yeah, full API first kind of approach or architecture, right? Everything is an API or REST or GraphQL, whatever it is your flavor. And the front enders can consume it. I mean, it's fast because you can define your Swagger files. If you use TypeScript, you can do that with TypeScript.
No.
If you want to, or not, or JSDoc, but you would have autocompletes for your application, your fetches, everything. So really, it's a nice way to work. The downside is the content experience. Like, even if you use the newest edge delivery from Adobe, which uses Google Docs. And I mean, surely it's very nice and very front end is very fast, but the offering experience is not as great.
Yeah. But in the end, as you say, it's a trade-off. What do you want to achieve? You want to achieve a great experience for your user. There's many ways that you can do it, SPAs being one of them, or other approaches. Maybe the content authoring is not the best, but this is something that fortunately can be done. I mean, we've worked. This is something that I'm blown away. I've seen some of the projects that we've done where the authoring content experience is just out of this world. We've built it ourselves. I mean, AM is okay, but the ones that we built are just amazing. Okay, to finish off, we've been discussing a lot of the things of the great advantages of SPAs, which is performance. Let's talk a little bit about the performance, because there's some things that I'm not completely fully agree with. So let's talk a little bit about performance. What can you tell us about the performance of the SPA?
I am not an expert on performance, but I can tell you that, I mean, I remember, I don't know, a few years ago when somebody, I don't know, coined or invented the whole, how did they call it? I think it was Google, the app shell model, where they would have this small, like, CSS inline, JavaScript inline to create just the layout, like the box, the shell, right? And then use the fetch and Ajax, everything to load the content, because it was, like, the first pane was very fast. You would inline everything and have the first pane be super quick, and the user would see just the shell, and then the spinner would load resources on the background and start populating the components, right? And that's a nice experience. I don't know. I mean, you can do SPAs very badly.
Definitely.
And then have 5 megabytes need to be downloaded on the first go. You can have lazy loading of BIOS. It's, I don't know. I mean, in the end, it's more JavaScript, right?
It is just working a little bit more with JavaScript. Okay. So let's close the today's episode with a little bit of a reflection. So what would you say to people that are considering doing working or learning to work with SPAs, or that think that would only like to work with SPAs?
Learning, for sure. If you're a front-end engineer, front-end developer, learn it. You will come across this eventually, or you have already. So learn from it or keep up to date with the frameworks. Yeah.
Well, okay. In this case, I have to agree completely with you. There's a lot of flavors regarding on the ways that you can work in the front, many, many ways. There's not a one universal silver bullet of this is the way that it needs to be done. Of course, we're constantly trying to make it better. And it is important for people to learn what an SPA is, to use it, to learn the frameworks. But then again, it's important also to know when it's the good moment to use it and when it is not. It is not a silver bullet, as just MPAs are not a silver bullet. I think it's more of a case-by-case thingy. So for our listeners, we would like to read you and know what do you think about SPAs. Is it your go-to choice? Is it not? When would you use it? Just share experiences or whatever you want to share with us. We'll be happy to read them. And I think that's all for today's episode. Thank you for joining us. Thank you, Ricard.
Thank you, Chucho.
And until the next coffee break, have a great day.
Bye.